Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the power that is inherent in your word. And Lord, we trust that it would be effective as it is now being communicated, as it was communicated in just Barbara reading it. And as I trust, Lord, I faithfully preach it. And so I pray for your blessing among us this morning. You love this church, Lord, because you sent Jesus to ransom us and join us together as a family of God, a family that spans throughout the ages and spans across this world. So, Lord, pray that you'd be faithful to your promise, faithful to your word. Pray, Lord, that what's received this morning would not be my opinions or my conjectures, Lord. It would be your word, your truth. And I pray that truth would shape us and form us and lead us to be more like Jesus. Bless this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we looked at Romans 4, verses 1 to 8, and we asked that question, what does it mean for us to be justified? How are we justified? When you hear that word justified, you think, how are we made righteous before God? How are we accepted by God? And so what we looked at last week was really what the Jewish reader back then would have thought if you asked that question, how are you justified? The first century Jew would have said, well, I can tell you that. We're justified by works. And when you read that word works, it's by what we do, the things that we accomplish. And if there's anyone who could think that way, it's the ancient Jew. And they say, just look at Abraham. And they talked about Abraham being like the perfect Jew who obeyed all that God called him to as part of the covenant, the special committed relationship God had formed between Abraham and all his descendants, the Jewish people. And so they said, we're just like that. Abraham's our father. It's by works, it belongs to us. That's how you're justified. That's how you are made righteous and accepted by God. But what we looked at last week was, it's not going to be by works. We are justified by faith. And Paul, who writes Romans, says, you can look at Abraham for that too. If you look at Abraham, what you see is that he is made righteous. He's accepted by God by what he believes, not by what he's done. By what he's accomplished. He is justified and accepted by God based on his faith in God. So this Sunday is really just kind of a continuation of that. What we want to do this Sunday is do two things. Understand what it is for us to be justified by faith and how that creates what I'm going to call a new multi-ethnic family of God. We all come in the same way. But then secondly, how this faith, the nature of the faith that does this. So sort of two big things that we want to hopefully drop into our souls this morning. How we're created as one family of God and the nature of that faith that does that. So let's think about that first one, how being justified by faith means that we are now a new people of God, that we are this multi-ethnic family of God. See, to speak of faith is to say that all of us are called by God and are joined together in God in the same way, by faith, by what we believe, by who we believe in. And that's important because even right here at this point, even after all the things that we said, the ancient Jew would have said, well, look, there's some things that tell me differently, Paul. And one of those things is circumcision. The Jews, let's remember, the Jews saw themselves as exclusively the people of God. We're God's people. Above all the other nations, right? And one of the things that marks us as God's people is circumcision. You could say faith is not by works. Or sorry, justification is not by works, it's by faith. But what we have faith is in the fact that we're the ones who've been circumcised. We're the ones who follow the rite of circumcision. Back in the first century, circumcision, I mean, it's sort of weird for us to think about circumcision meaning anything today. But back then, it was really, really important. Here's this marker of them being set apart as God's people. The ethnic Jew had this special, what the Bible uses this word, covenant, this special committed relationship with God. And circumcision was done in obedience to God's command and is a way of just marking them as forever being God's people. As this way of that's the way they understood it. It's like this automatic visa into the kingdom of God. This is what we've got. This is what we depend on. But here, again, Paul says that you got this wrong. And you can look to Abraham to show how this isn't true. Abraham shows that there's something else different going on when we talk about being justified, being accepted by God. Look at verses 9 to 11 of Romans 4. For we say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So Paul is just saying, look, you're talking about Abraham being righteous, being accepted by God. That happened before you're circumcised. So when he was circumcised, all that was doing was establishing, was really confirming that Abraham already knew God, was already accepted and righteous before God. That, again, over and over, what you think you should hear is that this is by faith, not by what you've done, not by any religious ritual, not by anything he had done up to that point or anything that he would do. Circumcision just was confirming the fact that Abraham was trusting in God, was righteous by faith. Verse 11 and 12. The purpose then was to make him, Abraham, the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. So get this. If you're a Christian, if you're here, you're a Christian, you can look at Abraham and say, I'm descended from Abraham. You can look at Abraham and think that I come from Abraham. Because Abraham is a forerunner for a people of God that are going to be formed not by what they do, by any other ethnic markers. They're going to be formed by who we believe in. The people of God are formed and shaped. They're accepted by God based on faith. That's why we say being justified by faith, it creates this new multi-ethnic family of God, Jew and Gentile, coming to God in the same way, staying together in God in the same way. Now, again, the Jewish reader back then would say, well, let me talk to you about something else here, Paul. Okay, you say circumcision isn't it. Well, what about the law? We uniquely have the law. So when we talk about the law, I'm talking about God's law. And that was really important for the Jew back then in the first century. So remember, think of Moses coming down from the mountain with the tablets and all that. That the ancient Jew had said, look, that's us. It came to us. This written code, again, was part of this covenant God had established with the Jews. They had faith in God, that God graciously established this relationship with them. And the covenant, though, was a way of marking out that relationship. Here's how we have followed the covenant. In the covenant, it was promises and obligations. And for the Jew, that said, look, this is intended for us, the ethnic Jew. It belongs to us. But here Paul, again, in our passage, says that doesn't cut it. That doesn't work. You've got the law, but if you're thinking that obeying God's law, that you can do that, that's how you're going to get the promises of God, well, you're going to find out that that's not going to work. What's so good about having the law of God if you don't keep it, if you don't follow it? And that's the situation that they were in, the Jewish people who would have thought this way. Let's keep going. Look in verses 13 to 14. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. See, the Jews saw themselves as adherents to the law. But the reality is what the law was doing is showing them that they didn't adhere to it. It just made them look worse. They got God's law, but they didn't actually follow it in the ways that God was calling them to. If you look at verse 15, it says, the law brings wrath. In other words, the law brings God's judgment. So the law brings judgment for everyone who doesn't keep God's law, right? And so who received God's law? The Jewish people. Paul is saying God's wrath, his judgment is coming on you because you don't keep it. The word to describe how we don't keep God's law is that word transgression. We transgress the law. That's what it means to break the law. The Bible uses that word transgression to describe that. So if you're reading your Bible, you're going to come across the word sin often. Sin is like a general term to describe our rebellion against God, the fact that we don't follow God in the ways that we should. Verse 15, though, uses the word transgression. It describes something a little bit more. It describes sort of a deliberate, like, I'm not going to listen to you, God, even though you told me what to do. That's what transgression is. So you think of God's law. Imagine you have God's law on your hands and it says, you know what it says. It says things like love your neighbor. It says things like honor God with your whole self. Imagine getting that, reading that, and still saying, I'm going to break this. I'm not going to follow this. That's a sin, right? But even more so, it's a transgression. And that's something even worse, isn't it? To know what you should do or not do and just still ignore it. You know, if I walk by, and some of you have been to Mexico. If you go to Mexico and you go to the beaches right there and they sell amazing mangoes like unlike anything else, right? So imagine you're on a Mexican beach and someone comes in with rolling the stand of mangoes and you come up to them and you take the mango and you start eating it and you walk away. So what have you done? That's the sin of stealing, right? You're not supposed to do that. But imagine you go up to that stand and you see a sign there and it says, please pay for the mango before eating it in English. And in Spanish, it says, donde mango, I don't know Spanish, something like that, right? sounds something, I wish I knew Spanish. Was that close? Not really. I knew guessing there was dangerous. Mango somewhere in there, right? Okay, anyway, something in Spanish. I would read the English part, right? So it says, please pay for the mango before eating it. Imagine you read it out loud, and you still take the mango and eat it and walk away. Right? That's something different, isn't it? That's something different. That's transgression. That's what it says there in verse 15, that where there's no law, there's no transgression. You might say there's sin, but where there is law, there is transgression, and that is what's going on here. The Jewish people who would say, look, we've got the law of God. But the fact is, the Jewish people had this law, and yet still violated. So here's the irony. So again, he's writing, remember where this is written? This is written to a church that it has Gentiles and Jewish Christians in it. And just like today, we find all sorts of different ways to divide ourselves. Whatever the category is, we find a way to divide ourselves from one another. Here's one of the ways they were dividing themselves. The Jewish Christians saying, look, well, we're more Christian than you because we got the law. And Paul's saying, like, you don't understand what it means to be Christian. What the law is showing is that you all are in the same boat just like everyone else. For those who don't have the law, they reject God. Their conscience tells them that. You remember back in chapter 2. Here, Paul is saying, you who have the law, who got exactly what God is trying to say, you still didn't listen. So again, in all this, what's the point? It says this. Are we justified by works? No, we're not justified by works. In other words, by the things that we do. Are we justified by circumcision, our religious and cultural symbols? No, we're not justified that way. Are we justified by keeping the law, our religious obedience, your ability to be a really good religious person? No, that's not how you're going to be accepted. That's not how you're going to be brought in by God. We are justified by faith. We are justified by faith alone. Verse 16. That is why it depends on faith. Underline that. That's why it depends on faith. In order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So both Jew and non-Jew, so the adherent of the law and the one who shares the faith of Abraham, the point is they're all justified by faith. That's what Paul is really saying here, that all people, no matter who you are, where you're from, are able to receive all the promises of God because it's by faith that we say we come together. It's by faith that we can say we're all descended from Abraham. It's by faith we can say we're all descended. We all come from the same person who believed in the same way as us, that we are righteous and accepted by God only by faith in him. God acts in grace. We respond in faith. By grace, then, that we can talk about God's blessing and promises coming to us, which among the many blessings and promises is this: God has made a way for a new people of God, one family of God, who are brought together and held together by faith. That's why Paul is emphasizing this so much. He's saying, look, you look back at Abraham, you're saying, that's only for some of us. Paul's saying to the church, this is what brings us all together. This is what makes us one family. When you look around and you see Jew looks at the Gentile and say, I have nothing to do with you. Paul's like, no, you are closer than any other family connection you could ever have. if you're joined together by faith. You know, I'm the son of Haitian immigrants. I was born in Brooklyn, grew up in New Jersey. That part of the country is the most densely populated part of the country. So I grew up around lots of people and lots of different types of people. Moved to the Valley in the end of 2002, and I joined the staff of Camelback Bible Church, which is in Paradise Valley. That's a church that is upper middle class, mostly white, lots of wealthy families. Very different from me, culturally, ethnically. And yet the moment I joined that church, I was with family. You understand that? The moment I became part of that church, I was with my people. Because we share the same faith, the faith of Abraham, justified by faith. A couple years later, I was in Honduras, the jungles of Honduras, in a small village church in the jungles there, and walked in through those doors on Sunday morning to a people group who spoke obviously spoke Spanish, which I don't speak, as I've proven. There are people in that church who haven't gone more than a few miles from their village. They've lived their whole life there. At the moment I opened my mouth to try to sing Spanish songs with those people, I was singing with family, wasn't I? I was singing with my people. I was singing with people who are closer to me than even some of the people I am biologically related to. How is that possible? What's chapter 4 telling us? It doesn't matter who you are, Jew or Gentile. It's a way of saying all peoples. We are justified by faith. We come in by faith and we stay together by faith. You're in this room right now, there's people from lots of different religious traditions, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal. Some of us grew up in environments that were all black, some of us all white, some of us all Latino, some of us all Native American, some of us all Asian. Some of us grew up relatively well off. Others of us grew up struggling. Some of us have lots of education. Some of us have very little education. Different backgrounds, different social statuses, different races and ethnicities, yet one family. How is that possible? That's impossible. Our world will tell you that's impossible. You can't do it. You can't keep it together. The Bible says God has done it. He's done it because we share one faith, the same faith as our same father, our father Abraham. A faith that's about God accepting people, not based on what they do or what race they come from or what religious background they have. It's why we at Roosevelt talk about being a diverse family. That's an important value for us. Why is that? The reason we talk about it and affirm it is because we see it here in Romans 4. Jew and Gentile brought together. It's one of the reasons that we should talk about it is this is the kind of stuff we're actually going to be singing about. This is an opportunity to rejoice more in the Lord. Do you know that? This is an opportunity to sing the songs of heaven. Romans 5 tells us some of the things that we'll be singing in heaven. You know what the lyrics are? You know what the hook is for one of those songs? God has ransomed people from every tribe, language, people, and nation. That's going to be the hook. That's one of the new songs it says in heaven, which means heaven will be full of new songs, and it's telling us some of the content of those songs. Here's an opportunity to rejoice in what only God can do. The faith that justifies us is a faith that justifies us together into one new family, one new people of God. We can't sing enough about this. We can't talk enough about this. We can't press enough into this. Because just like back then, what is strong on the outside can easily break because of so many things that come against us and divide us. One of the things that we have to rehearse over and over again is, here's all these different peoples. Paul's not ignoring the fact that some are circumcised and some are uncircumcised. He's just saying, don't let that divide you. Don't make that what divides you. Make that what actually joins you together. Here's how one person came in. Here's another people came in. Different backgrounds, different cultures, and yet they're all coming in ultimately on the same road, the road of faith. Justified by faith. Justified by faith means one new multi-ethnic family of God, but here's where I got to pivot a bit and talk a little bit about then this faith, the nature of the faith that we have. The faith that actually is able to do this, that justifies us and brings us together as one family. You know, at a simple level, what we're talking about is faith is trust in God, trusting that this is the God who does stuff like this, right? But what justifies us and brings us together, this trust in God, there's way more we can say about this. So in this sort of next section, what Paul is doing is describing this kind of faith that Abraham had. And that's meant as an example to us. I like saying this. Our father Abraham, my ancestor Abraham, has an example for us, an example of faith for us that me as a descendant of him, you all as descendants of him, can learn from and follow, because this is the kind of faith, again, that brings us to God and keeps us together in God. Number one, faith, this faith that we're talking about here is trusting God despite how things might look or feel to us. Faith means trusting God despite how things might look or feel to us. Let me look at verse 19 of chapter 4. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. So this faith that we're talking about here, the faith that justifies us, isn't a faith that means just ignore what's going on around you. Ignore what you feel like, what things are happening. I want you to understand this. Notice what it says there. Abraham considered the circumstances, which means like he looked at the situation, looked at his body, looked at his wife's body. He's like, girl, we're 100 years old. This ain't happening. right? That's he knew it. On a biological level, right, this ain't happening. So it says he considered. Faith isn't to ignore how you think or feel. It's to see the situation and yet to still believe. It says in verse 18, in hope he believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told. So shall your offspring be. Faith means being real about how you feel like. I want you to hear this. A huge first step is sometimes we think we got to go around that. No, faith means going right into the middle of like, here's how I feel. Here's the situation around me. Here's how things look like. Here's my expectations. Here's my nightmares about this situation I'm in. Faith means acknowledging what's there, yet moving on still into belief, because faith is about trusting in God, even as you acknowledge that the situation does not look like it can work. I like the way one person put it. He says, faith is this leap from the evidence of your senses into the security of God's word and promise. And so we need to acknowledge where we're at. Here's where I'm at. And then you jump. You use that as a platform to jump into something that is going to lock you in secure and stable. So it's all about then what you're jumping into, isn't it? The only way you can jump into that is to say there's something for me to jump into. So this brings up the next point. We have to trust God in spite of the things that what might look or feel to us, but what we're trusting then, what we're stepping into, is the second part, I think, of faith that we see in our passage. It means knowing God is a God with the power and authority to keep his promises. So look at verse 17. My ancestor, Abraham, says he believed in a God who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. So the only way you can trust in a God in spite of the things that you think and feel around you, the only way that can happen is if you trust that this is a God of power and authority and the ability to exercise that power and authority on our behalf. To believe, and I like the way it's described there, that this is a God who brings life where there was no life. This is a God who brings life even in the spots that are dead and decaying and decrepit. This is a God who brings life even into those spots in this world, in your life. Here's what Paul later on writes, verses 20 to 21. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. See, our faith grows stronger the more we know, the more it says that we're fully convinced that God has the power and authority to do what he says. To do what he says and that he actually does it. In some ways, the more we know about God, the more our faith gets stronger. The more we know about the kind of God that we have, the more we can make that leap into who God is, trusting and depending on him. That's what makes us justified. That's what we're depending on. That's what we're relying on. That's what makes us right before God, when we believe that this is the kind of God that we've got. I mean, Just on this passage, just based on this passage, I mean, the Bible is full of things for us to know about God, full of God's promises about who he is and what he does when we trust in him. But just here, just think about some of the things we've even just mentioned. Think about the fact that God is a God who brings all these different peoples together. I mean, there's something to grow you stronger in your faith, that God has the power and authority to make one new people of God. And if you doubt that, just look around this room, look around this world, look around over the course of church history. Over and over again, faith is seeing what God is already doing and believing that God's going to continue to do it. Here's something to grow us in our faith, believing that God has the power and authority to make one new people. And we can go even deeper, just sticking with this passage. I can start in Genesis, go to Revelation, and fill us with things to pour cement into our faith. But just even in this passage, just think about what it means to believe that God has the power and authority to keep us free from the power of sin so that we can remain justified. That what's to help us say that, what's to make us think that we can stay righteous, that we can stay accepted by God? Well, it's faith that God keeps us free from all the things that are going to pull us away from him. Think about the fact that God has the power and authority to give you peace and joy even when things look differently. So it's not just about, okay, well, I have these circumstances around me and I don't know what to do with them. God says, if you trust in me, you're going to still have those circumstances, but I can give you the peace and joy that you need in the midst of those circumstances. Think about God as a God who has the power and authority to bring new hope into your life. New hope. I really believe that to have faith in God, the step of faith to take towards God is a step to believe that God has the power and authority even over your imagination. Even to think differently about what you think is possible. To hope differently, to dream differently. Dream differently about your life and about where it's going. Faith is knowing that this is the kind of God that you got. He can bring new hope and fresh vision every time you place your trust in him. That's the kind of faith we're talking about. Last thing, faith means believing God has indeed acted on our behalf to justify us. It's the last point, but here's the foundation for everything. I mean, what we're trusting in, what we're knowing above all else, that God has specifically done something. This is not just generic. God has sort of accepted me and I feel good about it. No, you need to believe something very specific. God has made me righteous and accepted me into his family because of what he did in and through Jesus. That is ultimately, foundationally, what we're talking about here. That is the ground for everything else that we want to believe about God. The way that we are made righteous is because God did something in Jesus, and that's what we trust in. Verses 24 to 25. But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So Jesus died in our place for our sins, for our violations against his law, our trespasses. But Jesus didn't stay dead. Jesus died in order that, it says here, he might be raised from the dead. And by doing that, it opens up a new way for us. That's how we can say we are righteous and accepted by God. All in Jesus. Like I looked at last week, our sins are covered now. God looks at us and sees us as righteous, accepted by him. So the faith we have in God is that we are righteous and accepted specifically in Jesus, what he's done through Jesus. And that's what, I mean, let's just be very clear, that's what I'm asking you to believe today if you've not believed that. It could be the most simple prayer in the world. You can pray that prayer. Lord God, I believe what you did in Jesus. I don't trust in myself. I'm not going to rely on myself. If I'm going to be righteous before you, God, if I'm going to be accepted into your family, the only way in is by believing that you have saved me in Jesus, that you've made me righteous in Jesus. A prayer like that, offered in humility, even in the smallest whisper of a voice or the loudest shout, God hears it all. That, I mean, just be very clear, that is the kind of faith that I'm begging and asking you, if you've not done that, this is the kind of faith to have this morning. That's the kind of prayer to have, to express that faith for the first time. And I'm going to trust that God is going to give you the words and give you the faith to pray that prayer and to receive all that God has for you right in this moment and even more as you continue to trust in him. So in saying that, though, let me say this, and we'll be done. Of course, many of us still struggle. You know, I'm talking about faith in God and peace and joy and new hope and all this stuff, right? And yet, if we're honest about our lives, I mean, we still struggle. We have barriers and reasons that get in the way of us maybe growing in faith in the ways that we know we should. There's past failures for some of us here. Some of you have past hurts and traumas that you've not quite yet shaken. Been shaken. You've had trust issues from communities that you trusted in, and it felt like it fell apart. It felt betrayed. You're not sure what to do with that. There's just our own human weaknesses, the things that you just are naturally weak towards that get in the way of you having faith and growing in your faith. Here's where our father Abraham helps us also. If you look at Abraham, it's interesting. We have this description in chapter 4 of his life. But let's notice that description of his faith in chapter 4 alongside the description of his life that we get in Genesis. If you read Genesis, I mean, you realize this was not a smooth journey. Genesis 15, it says, Abraham believed the Lord, faith was counted to him as righteousness. Then in the next chapter, Genesis 16, Abraham sleeps with his servant Hagar to have a son because he wasn't sure God could pull it off. Next chapter. Different points in his life, we see Abraham not listen to God. We see him lie when he doesn't need to. So you look at the whole story of Abraham. It's not the smooth path of faith. There's doubt. There's failure. At significant points, you could say Abraham's faith wasn't all that great. Yet it was enough for him to be declared righteous. It was enough for him to be accepted by God. How is that possible? It's all because our faith is ultimately not about trust in ourselves. Our faith is about trust in God. That's what it's about. Faith is ultimately about trust in God. Praise God, and not in ourselves. My four-year-old likes it when I throw her up in the air. Now, as she's coming back down, if she was trusting in herself to land back on the ground, will she be in a full body cast right now, right? When she's coming back down after I throw her up in the air, what she is trusting and what she's having faith in is her father to catch her. And that faith she has in me to catch her is a faith that works even when she's tired, even when she's weak, even when she's sick, even when she's upset. It's a faith that works because of faith not in herself, but in the arms of her father to catch her. See, Abraham's faith worked because it was based on God, not on himself. Abraham was weak and doubting and failed, but God is strong and sure and never failing. We today are still weak and doubting and failing. And praise God, he is still strong and sure and never failing. And the reason we can say that over and over and over again is because we can look at Jesus and see God's strength and surety and never failing power at work for us. Over and over again, we can remember that this is the kind of God we got. That's the kind of God we have faith in. And this is what I invite us to step into as a church family. As we, this multi-ethnic family who follow in the faith of our father Abraham, step in closer to one another and closer to God. Here's the faith we're stepping into. Here's what to lock arms around. That this is the kind of God who saves people like us. Saves us in our weaknesses. Saves us in our failures. Saves us in our divisions. Here's a way to support one another. Here's a way to come around one another when we're gathered together, whether it's here on Sundays or whether it's in a community group during the week, whether it's you're going out to a movie later on tonight, whether it's you happen just to run by someone in a coffee shop, whether you are happening to text someone about something, whatever it is, here is the faith that brings us together and keeps us together. The faith that makes us righteous before God and accepted by him. faith in God, specifically what God has done in Jesus, a faith that's stronger and sure than anything we can depend on, than anything we could hope for, than anything we can imagine on our own. God's faith, our faith in God and what God has done in Jesus. Let's pray that this is something that we would not just talk about, but something that we would live in, something that we would inhabit, something that, praise God, He always will give us more of when we ask Him for it. So let's do that. Lord, thank You for this time. Thank You for Jesus. And Lord, again, I just pray that You'd give us more faith, Lord God. Faith that, Lord, yes, justifies us and keeps us justified. Lord, keeps us safe and secure in You. Thank You, Lord God, that we are made righteous, not by anything we've done or anything that we bring to the table, but by what You have done, by what You've brought to the table. Thank You for how it brings us together. Thank You for how it works, even when we feel weak, even when we are unsure, even when we fail. As long as the faith is always in You, Lord, I pray, Lord, that You, well, we know, I'm praying this, I'm resting on the promise, really, that You always answer. And so, Lord, what security, what encouragement that is, Lord, to quickly turn to You, even at our worst. What encouragement this is for what keeps us together and keeps us going together. Lord, thank You. This is what You've done and what You continue to do. Thank You that this is the kind of thing that we'll praise You for. You have rescued us. Lord, You have justified us. You have freed us. You've redeemed us. All by faith. Lord, it seems too good to be true. Thank You, Lord, that You are that powerful. Lord, that's why we know it's true. Lord, praise You for that. We rejoice in that. And we thank You for that this morning. Give us more of this faith. Grow us more in knowledge of You and trust and dependence on You. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.